Hi, this is Sabine from Paper Specs. I'm here today with Concord Litho's Christine Erna, who oversees their mailing and fulfillment services division. Hi, Christine.
Good afternoon.
And she is here to help us to clarify some of the direct mail basics, as well as determine what makes a successful direct mail piece. With more than 25 years of experience in the direct mail design, analysis, and training, I figured Christine is just the right person to get us on the right direct mail track, so to speak.
Well, thank you.
So, Christine, with all the e-options available today, why should we care about direct mail in the first place?
Well, the name of the new game is multi-channel, reaching your target in multiple times in various channels or methods. And there are proven statistics that say when you reach somebody multiple times in more methods, and one of those being a direct mail channel, the statistics are there that people love to get direct mail.
They love. That's a good thing to know.
Yes.
Now, when you say the statistics are there, you're basing this on response rates, I take it.
That's correct.
So can you tell us a little bit what is a response rate and how do you measure it?
Absolutely. A response rate is the result of your marketing offer. You know, if you have a truly multi-channel integrated program, you send an email, you send a direct mail, you have different codes on how people respond, you're measuring who responded by what particular channel or method, and then you're calculating that against your cost to see what your return is and how you're measuring that.
Mm-hmm. So each device or each part of the or each piece of the multi-channel marketing campaign would have a different code so you can see which one people responded to, basically?
Yep, and that's, you know, one particular way of testing. There are other certainly ways. For example, with direct mail, you can use a personalized URL on that, or you can also
right.
use it in an email marketing option message, and you can have a code associated with those different channels to see if they responded from the direct mail piece versus the email message.
Mm-hmm. And as we all know, it takes several times to reach somebody, so that's a great way to incorporate this. What's an average response rate? What can we expect?
Well, that's the million-dollar question.
You mean the magic eight-ball one?
Well, I wish I could, but it's a very difficult question and answer because there are some marketing industry analysts and experts out there that will, you know, throw out response numbers from 0.5% to 2%. But this, you know, I personally believe it depends on what you're offering and is it relevant to your target audience. You know, I've always used an analogy in the past that if I sent a postcard, you know, offering people a $100 bill, that I get a pretty high response rate.
Yes, count me in, please.
Yes. You know, that's, you know, very relevant to particular people. But if I'm offering, you know, a baby food sample to somebody that doesn't have children, that's not necessarily a good, relevant offer. And it's not going to have a very good response rate.
Mm-hmm.
So the response rates are subjective based upon what you're offering and how well you're targeting relevant information to your audience.
Mm-hmm. Which brings me to my next question. There are three parts to each direct mail campaign or the piece of the campaign. And I'd love if you could, the list, the offer, and the creative. And I'd love if you could go a little bit into more detail for us and tell us, for example, how important is each element and, well, let's start there. How important
okay.
is each element? How important is the list compared to the offer or the creative?
And I wish that I could say I could divide those three up equally and say that each one is as important as the other, but it's, and again, you know, graphic designer is certainly not going to agree with me versus
no, I am a designer, and I speak for all of them. The
yes.
creative is the most important part.
Of course,
just kidding.
Of course. I mean, you know, they do each hold their own weight, but at the end of the day, you can have the best creative, you can have the best offer with that, you know, $100 bill offer. But if you're not reaching the person or the right audience, the creative and the offer is of no value. And statistics and history have shown that, you know, and these are flexible, you know, based upon the type of business, but, you know, 80% of your efforts should be in the list and massaging that list and segmenting that list and then dividing the remaining 20% up between your offer and your creative.
You're not making yourself very popular with designers.
I know I'm not. But again, it can be the prettiest piece in the world, but if it doesn't get in the mailbox.
Absolutely. It's what I call reality check.
Yes.
So 80% is in the list. That would tell me, let's spend some time on the list here. What makes a good quality list? If this is 80% of what the direct mail campaign is all about, then point us in the right direction. What should we work
absolutely
out for?
Absolutely. Again, you know, my background is from the Postal Service and the ability to get a mail piece delivered into the mailbox. But that's only one piece of the mailing list. Address quality within the Postal Service standards are extremely important to make sure you're maintaining who's moved in your list. There's nothing worse than, you know, having one of your top customers move and you trying to reach that customer and not having updated your mailing list to know where they moved to and not being able to reach them. So there's move update processes that people should be doing on their mailing list. And they are now required to do mailings to make sure that you're updating those particular lists. But there are other things within a mailing list of your own house list, which is typically the most relevant and important, is being able to identify specific traits of customers, being able to identify history, being able to append information to your house list. You know, if you don't have any genderizing or information on household income, if they have children, and lifestyle graphics or lifestyle segments of that, there are services that you can append that information so that you can speak more relevantly to your customers and maintaining that information in your list. Now, if you're looking to buy a mailing list, again, there are major sources of data to purchase, and you can get very specific in the type of information you're looking for. There's compiled and aggregated data that typically comes from public records information, court records, deeds, and white pages. There are survey and questionnaires. This is where people respond to specific information and they're giving information about themselves where you'll be able to say, I'm interested in people that are gardeners.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's response data, people that are subscribers to newsletters or magazines. You're able to purchase that information. I'm looking for people that subscribe to home decorating magazines.
Mm-hmm.
You can purchase those subscriber information, but also buyer lists. You know, people that purchase online or from a specific type of business, recency and frequency of how often they buy, you can buy that information as well. So the list and the type of data that you can buy to be able to create and develop your offer are endless out there.
Yeah, it is astonishing, isn't it?
I
don't
really
want to know
is.
All the data that is out there about me, myself, and I. So basically what you're saying, the house list is the best list you can use because this is where you have proven data about your customers or your potential customers because they have been in touch with you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, that's 80%, I understand that, but still there is 10% that makes out the offer, makes up the offer. And are there any tips what to consider on the offer? Are there any, you know, like offer something free, offer a discount? What's a good offer? What is an enticing offer?
Again, it is going to vary based upon the type of business you're in, whether you're targeting a business-to-business environment, whether you're targeting a business-to-consumer environment, whether it's you're selling, you know, $100,000 piece of equipment versus, you know, asking someone for a donation. And mm-hmm. then there's everything in between. So you really have to understand, again, who you're targeting and what's the relevance of what you're trying to get from them. There are industry statistics on the type of buzzwords or offers to use whether it's free, whether it's discounted, whether it's half off, if you're selling services and or selling a particular product. But then there's a whole other type of offer, so to speak, that if you're in the fundraising or nonprofit environment, trying to get people to respond into giving you a donation for your cause, mm-hmm. that, you know, the offer there would be, you know, helping out a child that needs food, helping out to rebuild this or that, or whatever the case, whatever the cause might be.
Calling more on their social consciousness.
Exactly. Yeah. You're trying to, you know, pull on those particular heartstrings, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So, but in your average environment, let's say, free discount percentage off is still a good
act now,
draw card.
You know,
act now. Call for action.
Expiring soon or whatever the case may
yes.
be.
Yes, so make yes, so some kind
that,
of urgency.
That people will respond to, correct.
Mm-hmm. And now I have to ask, of course, about the creative because, you know,
you
I'm a designer. So let's start first with what formats do we have to choose from? Because, I mean, I'm probably one of the few people in this world, besides some other creatives and printers probably, who go through their mail. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a Kellogg. This is this. This is this. So why don't we start with what do we have to choose from?
Yeah, I mean, you know, both of us having worked within this industry for a long time, we do look at direct mail very differently.
Ever so very slightly, yes. We can get excited about a good direct mail piece. It
yes,
just doesn't happen that often with others.
Typically, there are, you know, probably five different formats to consider.
Mm-hmm.
One is a postcard. One would be a self-mailer. One would be a booklet-style mailer. One would be an envelope package. And the last being a dimensional type of package.
Mm-hmm.
And you start with a postcard, which is obviously very simple. Doesn't take any effort for someone to see the information in which you're offering. It's the least expensive to produce and the least expensive as far as postage and mailing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very convenient format for people to use.
But it also sometimes can get lost in the shovel. So what about the self-mailer?
The self-mailer, you're obviously creating more real estate on the self-mailer to drive your message. It can be very economical to produce a self-mailer. But it also, as with the postcard, it lends itself to using variable data and variable graphics when you're printing these in a digital environment and being able to, you know, target specifics to a client and being relevant. But you have that real estate on the outside where their address is to grab their attention, whether it's with graphics, whether it's with, you know, that offer right there. There in a tagline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in a booklet format, that's usually something that has a stitched spine on it or glued-in spine. And it's a great format, and we see a lot of those in the mail stream. With the changes a couple of years ago, the Postal Service enacted in the difference between a letter-sized mail piece and a flat-sized mail piece. You know, the catalog mailers had a format of, you know, 8.5 by 11, and they created a postage category where it was very expensive to mail that. So they went into a smaller, Slim Jim booklet-style mailer, and it's been very successful for them.
That's why I get so many of those lately.
Yes.
Ah.
The postage basically doubles between that format and going into an 8.5 by 11.
Wow. So this is basically roundabout, I don't have the exact measurements, but this is like half of 8.5 by 11, isn't it? It's like
the max size would be like 6 by 11.5.
Okay.
So there's some recent postal changes that are just about 6 months old that put some further restrictions on this Slim Jim booklet-style mailer.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually shortened the maximum length to 10.5.
Hmm.
And they also are now requiring 3 wafer seals to close this particular mail piece for processing in the Postal Service.
And from a design point of view, I have to say they look pretty ugly, but
it's
yes.
awful. It's awful.
Because they're pretty big.
They are. They, you know, minimum size is 1.5 inches.
Wow.
So it does become very challenging from a design perspective, challenging from an opening perspective,
mm-hmm.
challenging from a mail processing production letter shop environment, having to affix those three wafer seals.
Yeah, I can see that. So maybe there's something more. Yeah, go ahead.
That's all right. And you know, at Concord Litho, we actually have a format that where we can create these booklet mailers in line on our web presses, and they're actually glued shut, so there's no wafer seals.
Ooh.
And it creates a very nice format, and it meets the Postal Service's sealing requirements with the glue.
That's good to know.
Yes.
That's good to know. So next one up then would be an envelope, like a number 10 envelope?
That's one size option. Anything that you're inserting contents inside that envelope, and the sizes can vary from, you know, a small, you know, 4x6 envelope all the way up to 9x12 or 10x13 and everything in between. But an envelope package has its use in the world for creative, especially, for example, in the fundraising world where you may be putting sample cards that you want to give to a client and mm-hmm. asking for a donation. It could be a date book. It could be bookmark. It could be a variety of other premium products contained within that particular package.
Mm-hmm.
And more times than not, you're also including a reply envelope for a person to respond to that particular offer that you're messaging to them.
Mm-hmm. So this is not just your average flat envelope that we receive, but what you're saying is there's something in there, you know, it could be some stickers or post-it notes or whatever that makes it more attractive to open in the first place?
Exactly.
Okay. That makes it more enticing because people want to know what's in there. We're nosy.
Absolutely. You know, when it's kind of, you know, it's got some thickness or heaviness to it, you say, what's in here?
Mm-hmm.
And you have your options whether it's a closed face or whether there's a window with, you know, a letter on the inside might be driving the address for delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's a little more expensive to produce not only the envelope, but all the contents that will be going in that. And there's more time required for the production and assembly of all of that. But again, there are certain circumstances where that's the best type of creative to use.
Mm-hmm. Or in the most simple of its form, depending on obviously what you're going for, you can include a letter and I don't know, a magnet,
a reply, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, or a pen, for lack of a better word. Okay, and then the last one you mentioned was a dimensional package?
A dimensional package, yes. You know, this actually is, you know, three-dimensional, whether it's a, you know, a box or a tube or a bubble mailer. Typically, they're most expensive to produce and mail, but it could have a much larger response depending upon who you're mailing it to, what your offer is, and what the contents is. A lot of people will use that for mailing a DVD or a promotional product that's going to, I just lost my train of thought, a promotional project that's going to entice them to respond to a particular offer.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the creative that goes around a dimensional package can be really fun. You know, and the whole campaign of measuring that, you know, and statistically a dimensional package, while more expensive to produce, will typically have a very good response.
Mm-hmm. I think we could do a whole talk just about dimensional packaging, and maybe we should do that. because I remember there, and I don't know the company, I don't remember the company name, but it was like a really high-end product, and they only sent out about 100 of these tubes or boxes, and the response was so incredible. But because it was a high-end end product that they were selling, they only needed to sell half a product basically to make up for the cost of the mailing, and
yep.
they sold multiple of those. And I actually remember which one that was. I have to look that up because it was very impressive.
I have a success story of a manufacturing company that produces a piece of equipment that had a program to have dealers send out direct mail pieces once a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually sold a $500,000 machine based upon a direct mail postcard.
A postcard?
Big believer, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, people, direct mail works. repeat after
it
me.
Absolutely does.
So we've already talked a little bit about the results. Is one format better than another to use, you know, if somebody starts out in direct mail?
Well, I mean, again, it's going to be based upon, you know, what your ultimate goal is as far as the results go. You know, is it informational? Is it, you know, to sell a product? Is it to sell a service? But statistically, you know, direct marketing and measuring and testing results has been around for a number of decades. And statistically, if you went to the internet or to the library and, you know, found all the, you know, heroes of the direct marketing world, statistics will always have the number 10 envelope package, pulling the best results.
Sure. Okay.
And this is applicable to business to business, business to consumer, and in fundraising.
Okay. So some of the work I've done in the past was not in vain then.
That's
done my fair share of number 10 envelope packages. Any tips when it comes to the creative, you know, colors? Some of the colors evoke a better response than others, or some fonts work better than others?
I'm sure they tell me red is, you know, something that obviously is, you know, eye-catching, but you know, I'm not one to tell you if one particular color over another that has a better response. I really can't answer that. I'm sure that there are some statistics out there, but not any that I have direct experience with.
Well, I would, in talking to you, I would also assume it's very much depending on your target group.
Absolutely.
Hot pink might not go that well with elderly gentlemen. So
Exactly. And I'm sure that there are some, you know, psychological graphic information out there that would, you know, direct you to that particular direction. But that's where testing comes in, and being able to have your control package that you know is successful and testing one element to a segment of your mailing list to see if it pulls differently.
So talking testing, I know Concord Litho is famous for its testing different aspects of a mailer. What should we test? You just mentioned it. You brought it up. So
yeah,
what
did.
Can we? What should we do? Should we redesign the whole thing? Where should we start the testing?
Testing is very critical to make sure that you're not testing more than one element. If you have a number 10 package that you know has had a very successful response rate, and that has an 8.5 by 14 letter. It's got a number 9 reply envelope, and it has a sample of stickers and a bookmark.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that would become your control package that you know pulls very well. To create a test, you're only going to change one element of those four elements, and it may be swapping out the bookmark for a date book.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have stickers and a date book in one test, and you have your control package that has the bookmark, the stickers, and the letter.
And then you test if it pulls better
or not. And then you measure the results, which pulled better.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that we do consistently within the fundraising division here at Concord Litho, and working with our clients to do the strategy, come up with the creative, facilitate the whole production of these packages of the test versus what's finally going to get rolled out, and then doing the analytics on the back end to make sure that the results are what our clients were looking for.
Mm-hmm. So listen up, everybody, only one element at a time. So if you change the headline, don't change anything else, because
exactly.
Otherwise you do not know what actually triggered the change in response rate.
Absolutely.
As with advertising, I assume a one-time mailer is not the way to go. Advertising usually says, you know, you have to be in front of somebody 7 times before there is a reaction. So is there a rule of thumb as to how many times one should mail and how often? Like, what kind of strategy do you recommend?
Well, I mean, there's no one set answer that is applicable to all business environments and strategies. It is that there are multiple touches and through various channels, but those channels are going to determine based upon your business, who your target audience is, and the individual business type that you have. There are certain businesses that are going to advertise on television and follow up with a direct mail package versus some that will do an email package and a direct mail package, or it could be a radio spot. There are so many different channels to do.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the goal would be to be consistent without being annoying, but also having those channels set up so that you can measure the results, because you don't want to be spending a lot of money on TV or radio advertising without knowing if it's working for you.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to do a cross-media, integrated, multi-channel direct marketing program, provided you have the elements to be able to test the various channels to know that your strategy is working.
Mm-hmm. I seem to remember that I think the consensus is that the direct mail piece is more of a push medium, so to speak, while the internet is more a pull one. Is that correct? You take the direct mail piece to push.
And I've seen it in a combination of ways.
Yeah.
I've actually sent out an email message to alert someone to watch their mailbox.
Okay, that's good.
Yes. I mean, it's alerting them that something's coming in the mail. Make sure you watch for it and respond to it.
That's
so
an interesting
again,
one.
It's as inhibiting only by your imagination.
So there comes the creative again. Yes, we win after all.
Yes.
Well, that's it from my side. Thank you so much for your time, Christine. I really appreciate it. And
my
I hope
pleasure.
You.
Thank you very much for asking me to do this. I appreciate it, and this has been fun.
And I hope we can talk more about dimensional packaging and the results and individual pieces in the future. Thank you
Excellent.
So much.
All right.